This week's parsha is Parshas Ekev, and in Parshas Ekev we have the second parsha of the Shema, the Vehoyo Im Shomoa, that we say every day. It's in Parshas Ekev on chapter 11, pasuk number 13. We are going to focus our class on the last pasuk of the parsha Shema, which is pasuk number 21, and we're going to analyze that whole pasuk. But before that, we have to put the pasuk in context and explain what is going on. On pasuk number 17, there it says that if you do not behave properly, then vavadatem mehera, you'll be lost quickly. Ma'al oretz atoiva, from the good land, asher Hashem noisen lochem, that Hashem is going to give to you. In other words, you are going to be kicked out of the land. Then on pasuk number 18, it says, "V'samtem es devora ele alevavchem," you should put these words into your hearts, "val nafshechem," and into your soul, "ukshartem oisom lois al yadchem," you should tie it as a sign on your hands, "voyu letetofos," there should be ornaments be'enechem, between your eyes, which means that we should don the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, the hand tefillin that is tied to your hand and the tefillin that goes into your head. Rashi, quoting the Sifri, is trying to explain the juxtaposition, the connection between Vavadatem Mehera, that you'll be quickly banished, to the next posuk that says that you should put the tefillin, and afterwards that we should put the mezuzah in our doors. What connection is that with us being banished from the land? Rashi says that it is to tell you that even after you are exiled, even after you are kicked out from the land, you should still be distinguished with your tefillin and your mezuzah, so they shouldn't be new when you get back to the land. And the reason they interpret it this way, besides the juxtaposition, is because on pasuk number 21, it says, "Leman yirbu yameichem," that in order that your days should prolong, "Vimei v'neichem," and the days of your children, "Alohu Adoma," on the land, "Asher nishba Hashem lavoiseichem," that Hashem has sworn to your forefathers, "Loseis lohem," to give to them, "Kimei hashomayim," like the days of heaven, "Alohu Oretz," on the earth. Since the Torah is telling that first you are going to be banished, then you should do the mitzvahs, then Hashem will prolong the days on the land, meaning the land of Israel. According to this interpretation, means to say that we should practice the mitzvahs like that when Hashem will bring us back to earth, they won't be as new. There is a huge question on Rashi, and that is the question really of the Ramban. The Ramban alludes to the question by saying that these mitzvahs that Rashi mentions, putting tefillin, teaching Torah, and putting mezuzahs in your door, these are mitzvahs that are obligation of a person. It doesn't matter where he is. If you are telling me the obligations of the land, as tithing, as giving the leket chikhopeya, giving the portions to the poor from the land, then I would understand that you should practice those things outside of Eretz Yisrael. Since they are choivas akarka, since they are the obligation of the land, and when you are outside the land, you are exempt, but nonetheless, you should practice it so that when you come back to the land, it won't look like new. But those things that are listed on the parsha, putting tefillin, place a mezuzah in your door, and learning Torah, they are obligation of the person. They are choivas aguf. An obligation of a person applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. What does Rashi mean that we should practice them, that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, they shouldn't be as new? Even though Rashi is quoting the Sifri, but the Sifri itself doesn't say exactly what Rashi says. The Sifri says simply, "Havei metzuyonim b'mitzvahs," that you should become distinguished in mitzvahs, "keshatem choizrim," like that when you come back, "lo yeh lochem lechadoshim," they shouldn't be new to you. But the Sifri doesn't describe which mitzvahs we are talking about. Rashi decided that we are talking about these mitzvahs written on this parsha. But from the Sifri itself, we could have interpreted that the Sifri is talking about mitzvahs that have to do with the land. True that Rashi was right to assume that it's talking about these mitzvahs, because since the Sifri is on this psukim, obviously he's talking about the mitzvahs that have to do with this psukim, and the mitzvahs that are in this psukim, in these verses, are the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of teaching Torah, and the mitzvah of putting mezuzah. But nonetheless, since the Sifri is not clear what mitzvahs, we could force and translate that it's talking about the mitzvahs atluyos ba'ores, that have to do with the land. But Rashi clearly says that it's talking about the mitzvah of putting tefillin and the mitzvah of putting a mezuzah in your door. Then the question of the Ramban, how is it possible that Rashi says that the only reason we are doing these mitzvahs is that they shouldn't be as new when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, when these mitzvahs are obligation of the person and not of the land? The Ramban, to answer this medrash, just gives a couple words and says, Avol yesh boy bemedrash hazeh, there is in this medrash soid amuk, a very deep secret. Ukvaromasti mimeni, I already gave you hints about it on that. Ramban clearly doesn't explain what it means. The Maharal in Guraria says that I will reveal the secret. That the Ramban held in his shita that before the Jewish people came into the land, all mitzvahs were practiced for going into the land, that all mitzvahs were not required until we got into the land. Therefore, the Ramban says that the Avos, our forefathers, did not keep the Torah in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yaakov was able to marry two sisters, but once they got into the land, then the Torah became binding. And we know that the Torah was only given one time, not two times. So the Maharal explains that the Sifri and Rashi are saying exactly the opposite what we are thinking. We are thinking that they are saying that these mitzvahs are not obligatory and we should continue to do them, so in order that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, they shouldn't be like new. But according to the Maharal and what the Ramban says, it is exactly the opposite. Rashi is actually saying that we are required to continue doing these mitzvahs, because if we don't do these mitzvahs, then when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, they will be like new. And if they will be like new, that means that the Torah was given again, because they are not mitzvahs that are related to the land. They are mitzvahs that are related to the person, choyva saguf, and they apply everywhere. Therefore, do not think that you are going to go to the original status when you were outside of Eretz Yisrael, that they were not obligatory. Rashi is saying that they are now obligatory, that you are required to do them in order that you, when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, they won't be like new, they will be like the old mitzvahs, because once we received the Torah and once we got into Eretz Yisrael, all mitzvahs, choyva saguf, became obligatory on us forever. Therefore, even when you are exiled, you should still do those mitzvahs in order that they don't look like new, because they are not new. And according to this interpretation, the Pasuk Leman Yirbi Yameichem V'Yemei V'Neichem Alu Adama, in order that your days and the days of your children should be prolonged on the land, it is not that you will do these mitzvahs and you will merit that you'll have a long life on the land, meaning that Hashem will give us a reward, and because of that, we will merit to have a long life on the land of Israel. It means to say, do these mitzvahs outside of Israel, because eventually Hashem will give you a long life in Israel. Like that, the mitzvahs won't be as new. Leman is not a reward. Leman is because Hashem is going to bring you back to the land of Israel. Therefore, do the mitzvahs chutz la'aretz, so when you come to Israel, they won't be new, because they're not allowed to be new, because once Hashem gave us the mitzvahs, they are forever. The Ksav Sofer says that Rashi is exact in saying specifically the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of mezuzah. And he explains, because you would have had an inkling to think that these mitzvahs we are not required to do when we are outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why would we have this idea? Because in chapter 28, pasuk number 10, there it says, "V'ra'u chol amei ha'aretz," that all the nations of the world will see, "Ki shem Hashem nikra lecha," that name of Hashem is on you, "V'yaru mimeko," and they will fear you. Meaning that when the Jewish people are being blessed, then everybody is going to see the greatness that Hashem does to Jewish people, and they will fear us, and that will be a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of Hashem's name, because the people will see the blessings that Hashem gives for those who follow the mitzvahs. And these mitzvahs, tefillin and mezuzah, are open mitzvahs, are mitzvahs that everybody could see, and then they will see the blessings that Hashem bestows upon us, then they will know that it is worthy to follow Hashem's commandment, that Hashem rewards greatly for those who follow His directives. But you'd have thought that when the Jewish people are ostracized, they are in the diaspora, that they are kicked out of the land, they are downtrodden, then you may think that the Jewish people are not allowed to put exterior mitzvahs in order not to cause a chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, because people will say, look what happens to a person that follows the word of Hashem. Look how Hashem makes him suffer. It does not pay to follow the word of Hashem if you end up suffering the way that Hashem is making the Jews suffer. Therefore, you would have thought that these mitzvahs, open mitzvahs, like tefillin and mezuzahs, that everybody sees that we are clearly following the word of Hashem, we should not advertise in order not to cause chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that even when you go into exile, you should put those mitzvahs, you should make sure you put your tefillin and you put your mezuzah on the door, that you should make the statement that you are hoping that Hashem is going to redeem us soon. We are waiting for Hashem's redemption, that we know that Hashem is going to take us back, and we are going to be proud again. So according to this interpretation, the pasuk Leman Yirbu Yameicha V'Yamei V'Neichem is that we are sure that Hashem is going to bring us back to the land, and we are going to have a long life in the land, that even in the diaspora, we are still hoping the redemption is going to come, and we are doing it because we know for sure that Hashem is going to redeem us, and Hashem is going to save us. Sefer HaKsav VaKabbalah brings almost the same idea of the Ksav Sofer, with a little difference. He first brings the Sifri where Rashi based his comments on, and he sees that the Sifri brings an example, meaning that the words of the Sifri are like that. Afal pi shani megala eschem min haaretz lechutz haaretz, even though I'm exiling you from the land of Israel to outside, hayu mitzuyonim b'mitzvahs, you should still perform the mitzvahs. Why? Kesheatem choizrim lo yiyeh lechem chadoshim, that when you come back, they shouldn't be as new. The Sifri continues, Moshu lemelech shekos al ishtoi, it's example of a king that got angry on his wife, v'chozra beveis avia, and she was sent to her father's house, meaning that he told her to go home. Amala, the king tells her, have a mekushetes betachshitecho, make sure that you are still adorned with your jewelry, meaning that you constantly wear the crown. Keshetachzeri, like that, when you get back, lo yiyeh alecho kechadoshim, they shouldn't be as new. Kach, the same way, Amar Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Israel, Hashem tells the Jewish people, Bonai, my children, hayu mitzuyonim b'mitzvahs, you should be distinguished with mitzvahs, meaning you should show off the mitzvahs, kesheatam choizim, yiyeh alechem chadoshim, that when you come back, they shouldn't be like new. And he brings a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Ksav HaKabbalah says that the example is like that. That if a king would have a fight with a queen, and the queen comes home and she decides to throw out her crown, throw out the jewelry that the king gave her, then that would show that she has given up on the relationship. She doesn't want anything to do with the king. And not only does she give up the relationship, she actually embarrasses the king because she is making a statement that it is not worth to have a relation with this king. It's not worth to pursue a connection with him at all. But if, even when she gets kicked out, she still makes sure to wear her crown, to make sure to walk with dignity, she makes sure that everybody sees that she still wants to have a relationship with the king. She's still honoring the crown that she's wearing, and she wants to connect herself back and to return to the status of proper queen the way she was, then the king may decide to bring her back. She's a pride to the king. The same thing us. If when Hashem exiled us, we would have stopped performing the mitzvahs that Hashem gave us, not only the mitzvahs that involve the land of Israel, but also the mitzvahs that are required on yourself, then it shows that we don't want any attachment to Hashem. We are cutting off our relationship with Hashem, and Hashem is right in ostracizing us because we are an embarrassment to Hashem, because we threw away his jewelry, we threw away his crown. But Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us in the Shema that the proper way to behave and the way to get back to the land is that even though we were kicked out of the land, obviously if kicked out of the land, we cannot make the mitzvahs at Luyos Ba'aretz, we cannot make the mitzvahs that involve the land. But yet, we are very careful in performing the mitzvahs that is Choyvas Aguf, that are required on us, even though we outside of Israel, we are wearing the jewelry of the king, we are wearing the crown of the king, we are wearing the tefillin, we're putting mezuzahs, we're doing the mitzvahs that we require to do. That shows to Hashem that we want to be connected with Hashem, even though he kicked us out, even though he exiled us, but the fact that we are still performing his mitzvahs, we are still wearing his jewelry, that shows him that we want to reestablish, reconnect that love. We want again to be part of him, and we are not giving up on the relationship. We are still hopeful to be able to come back to the king's palace, to be able to come back to the king's place, to be able to come back to the land of Israel. That itself will cause Hashem to bring you back, because Hashem is going to want to answer your prayer. And that's why these mitzvahs are important to keep even outside of Israel, because it shows to Hashem that we still want a connection with him. We still want the relationship, that we want to go back to the land. And according to this, the Pasuk Leman Yirbu Yameichem V'Yamei V'Neichem Alu Adama means that if you perform these mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz, that merit of performing these mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz and wearing the jewelry of the king, that will cause us to come back to the land, that Hashem will bring us back and will have a long life in the land of Israel in the merit of keeping these mitzvahs outside of Israel. And now we go back to the Pasuk on chapter 11, Pasuk 21, Lema'an yirbu yameichem, in order that your days should prolong, v'mei v'neichem, and the days of your children, al ho'adama, on the land, asher nishba Hashem la'avoseichem, that Hashem has sworn to your forefathers, lo seis lohem, to give to them, kimei ha'shamayim, like the days of heaven, Aloha orders over the land. The whole pasuk makes sense, but the last statement doesn't make sense, meaning that however we learned before that either our actions in exile are going to cause us to have a good life in the land eventually, or Hashem will eventually bring us back if we performed the proper mitzvahs, then we understand the beginning of the pasuk, that Hashem is promising us that we are going to have a long life on the land of Israel, we and our children. But what does it mean, kimei ha'shomayim al ha'aretz? What does it mean, like the days of heaven on the earth? The Belzer Rebbe answers this pasuk with First Apostle on Keheles, chapter 9, pasuk number 10. There the pasuk says, "Kol asher timtzo yadcho laso is bekoychacho asei." Whatever you are able to do with your strength, with your might, do. Why? Ki ein maase v'cheshben v'das v'chochma, because there is neither doing, nor reckoning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Bishoil, in the grave, ashato hoylech shama, that you eventually are going to go there. Meaning that Shlomo Melech is telling us that while a person is alive, then he is able, through his mitzvahs, through his might, through his good deeds, through his actions, to get up from level to level. You are still able to earn and go up to a higher place when you come into Olam Haba, when you come to the world to come. You are still able to work and make yourself provisions to get to a higher place in the world to come. But once a person dies, then he becomes chofshi min a mitzvah, he becomes free from mitzvahs, since he can't perform any more mitzvahs, he stays in the level that he died. And there is no way for him to add more mitzvahs, because he can't perform them anymore. And that is the advice that Shlomo HaMelech is trying to tell us, that whatever we could do, we should do now. While we're in this world, we should perform whatever we could do, because after we die, we can't perform them anymore. But the Belzer Rebbe explains that is only for a person that only served Hashem for himself. A person that did not influence anybody else, did not teach Torah to anybody else, then really, when he dies, that's it. He stays there and he doesn't go any further. But a father or a Rav that educated and taught his children to go in the way of Hashem, and for that matter, not necessarily you went to teach him something, but you inspired a person to get closer to Hashem, just by the way you behave, then any time that other person performs a mitzvah, you get residual credit, or you inspire the person to give charity, even though you didn't give the charity yourself, then the person who gave charity gets credit for any mitzvah the poor person does, and you get residual credit for inspiring the person to give charity. And that credit, meaning the credit of every mitzvah your children that you educate do, or the credit that any mitzvah that the student does, or the credit of any mitzvah that you caused to happen, that credit goes even after your death. Then it comes out that even after your death, you end up still performing mitzvahs and getting credit, and you are able to get up from level to level even after your death. Your own actions that you did, your own physical mitzvahs, you are only able to get to the level to where you died. But the mitzvahs of the people you influence, the people you taught, the people that you're responsible for, the reward for those mitzvahs go even beyond the grave, and you are able to get to a higher level even after your death. And that is what the pasuk in Zechariah chapter 3, pasuk number 7 says, "Benosati loch mahalchim benoim demoela," that if you perform my mitzvahs, do what I told you, I will give you strides, I will let you walk amongst those who stand here, meaning that Hashem will let Zechariah walk among the angels that are standing. The angels are considered standing because they have one level, they cannot increase their level, but we and Zechariah, through doing mitzvahs of Hashem, through influencing other people, causing other people to serve Hashem properly, then Hashem will make him walk, will make him go higher from level to level for every time somebody who he influenced will perform a mitzvah. And according to this, the Belzer Rebbe explains the whole series of psukim this way. First, the pasuk says, "V'samtem es devora ele al vavchem v'al nafshechem," that you should first put these mitzvahs on yourself, meaning that the person should first perform the mitzvahs and learn Torah and do things by himself. Then the Torah tells you, "Velimadatem oisom es beneichem ledabre bam," that you should teach your children to learn in them, meaning that you should influence your children to go in the proper way of Torah. Like that, in this reward, you'll get leman yirbu, Yemechem v'mevenechem al wadomo asher nishba Hashem l'vaseichem lasas lohem, as a reward for you learning Torah and teaching your children to learn Torah, I will give you a long life on the land that Hashem promised, meaning a long life in this world in Eretz Yisrael. But not only this I'm going to give you, I'm also going to give you Kimei HaShamayim, that will give you the reward in heaven, that all the mitzvahs the people are going to perform, I will give you the reward in heaven, even after your death, like they would be al Oretz, like you'd have been on the land, I will give you the reward in heaven. Because every time the children, every time your students, every time somebody you influence will perform a mitzvah, you'll get that reward in heaven as you would have been on earth. Even after your death, you'll be able to get that reward, and therefore you'll get to a higher level. So, Kimei HaShamayim al Haaretz, according to the Belz Rebbe, means to say that the reward that you'd have gotten on the earth, I'm giving you in heaven as you'd have been on earth. Sefer Iyun Tfila explains that what is written here, Kimei HaShamayim al Haaretz, means to tell you that Hashem is going to give you such a great life in this world that you will feel almost like you are in the world to come. That everything that you want, Hashem will make happen in this world, in the land of Israel, like the days of heaven when we are in the world to come, where we have Chaye Olam Haba, that all the pleasures of this world are only but a moment of pleasures of the world to come. That is the kind of life that you are going to have if you follow what Hashem told you. And he says that that is what the Gemara means to say in Brachas, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses the blessings that rabbis used to give to each other. The Gemara relates, when the rabbis would take leave of each other from the study hall of Rav Ami, and some say from the study hall of Rav Chanina, they used to say, Oilam Chotire Bechayecha, you should see your world in your life, which Rashi explains means that everything that you want should be complete. And that is what he says, that is like heaven, where everything you want, everything you desire is there. So too, Hashem will give you a blessing that your stay in this world will be Kimei HaShamayim, like the days of heaven, that you will get everything you want and you need. The Heilige Kedushas Levi explains that the reason that the Torah is comparing our stay in the land of Israel like the heaven, it means to say, in the same way that we say on the Torah of Atana Sibur Vafazdei, Yeshaya chapter 55, Pasuk number 4, Ki kasha yeret ha-geshem v'ashelag min ha-shamayim, for just as the rain and the snow descends from heaven, v'shama lo yashuv, and it won't come back, ki im irvo es oretz, unless it has watered the earth, voilido, and it caused its produce to sprout, v'tzmicha, and it grew, v'nosan zera lazoreya, and it gave seed to the sower, v'lechem lo'ichel, and bread to the one who is eating. In other words, we see the beneficence that they make sure that we are being fed, and he won't do until its work is being done. So too, because you are going to keep the Torah, you are teaching your children, therefore Hashem will give you a long life, and Hashem will make sure that your beneficence, your hashpah, works in the same way as the heaven's beneficence work to the earth. So your beneficence on the land that you are going to come in Eretz Yisrael will be as the beneficence of heaven on the earth, in the same way that the Pasuk says, the heaven always makes sure that the earth has got food and rain, which means that all the blessings that it's supposed to be will come down from heaven. So will your beneficence, because you kept Torah, spread out towards everybody and towards the whole world. The Ksav Sofer explains a little deeper this idea, and he says that the comparison to heaven is that we know that Eretz Yisrael is a holy place. It's a place that is specifically made for service for Hashem, and we know that the merit of Eretz Yisrael is so great that the Gemara writes down, Kol Ador be'Eretz Yisrael kemi sheyesh lo Eloka, that anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael is considered like he has a God. Because it's written in this week's Parsha, chapter 11, Pasuk number 12, that Eretz Yisrael is a land, Eretz, Asher Hashem Elokeichu Doresh Ois Atomit, a land that Hashem, your God, always seeks it out. Eini Hashem Elokeichu Bo, the eyes of Hashem are upon it. Mereish is Hashana, from the beginning of the year, Vadach Rishon, until year's end. Since Eretz Yisrael is the only land that Hashem watches in close provision, He doesn't allow any of His angels to make decisions on Eretz Yisrael. He Himself supervises very carefully the land of Israel. Therefore, anybody who lives in the land of Israel is considered like he has a God. Therefore, the land of Israel gets a special status. The land of Israel is very holy. Consequently, if the Jewish people are keeping the Torah in the land of Israel, then they absorb holiness on themselves by making the mitzvahs in the land of Israel. And by them making the mitzvahs in the land of Israel, they consequently give more holiness, give more kedusha to Israel. They get kedusha because they are now in the land of Israel and they get their holiness from the land. And because they make the mitzvah, they create more holiness into the land and they add kedusha to the land. Once holiness is added to the land, now the land could give more of its blessings. And once the earth gets more of its blessings, now we could perform more mitzvahs. And that continues to go in a roundabout way, in an increasing momentum, that we become holier and holier and holier. In other words, the land causes us to be able to get to a higher level, because the land of Israel itself gives you wisdom. So we are able to get, observe Torah, learn Torah in a higher level. Once we observe Torah in a higher level, we give more holiness to Israel. Once we give more holiness to Israel, then Israel itself gives more holiness to us and gives us better blessings and greater blessings. The Ksav Sofer says that that is the meaning, Kimei HaShomayim Al HaOretz, that like the days of heaven on earth, meaning that the heaven and earth have the same partnership. We see that the rain comes from the heaven, but before rain came down from heaven, it is written on Bereshis chapter 2, Pasuk number 6, Ve'eid yale min ha'aretz, that mist will ascend from the earth, meaning that the earth sends a little mist to the heaven. The heaven takes that mist and it increases it and makes it into rain and gives it back to the earth in larger quantity. In other words, the earth gave something to the heavens, and the heaven increased and gave it back to the earth in the form of rain. And once it rains, it makes it easier for the earth to create more moisture. And like that, the heaven could give more rain. And the cycle continues and continues and continues. The same thing, we are acting in Eretz Yisrael in the same relationship that the Shomayim has to the Oretz. The same way that heaven and earth have this relationship, that the earth gives mist and the heaven increases and gives rain, we have the same relationship to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael gives us holiness. In turn, we perform the mitzvahs, we get holier. In turn, Eretz Yisrael gets holier and gives us more blessings that we are able to make more mitzvahs. Sefer Shemen Roish answers this question, what does it mean, Kimei HaShomayim Al Horez, like the days of heaven on earth, based on the Gemara Yevames Daf Memtes Omet Beis. There the Gemara is analyzing the pasuk that says, "Es mispar yomecho amale," the number of your days I will complete, I will fill up. The Gemara brings a machloikis. The Tanya we learned, "Es mispar yomecho amale," the pasuk that says the number of days I will fill all complete. Elu shnei doyrois. This is the years that it was preset for your generation. Zocha mashlim loy. If the person is worthy, we make him get to the completion, we make him get the full amount of years that he's supposed to have. Lo izacha, but if the person is not worthy, he sinned, paschinloi, we diminish the amount of years that he's supposed to have, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no way for a person to get more years. All the years that a person has is preset. The only thing it could happen is that Hashem could diminish from the years that he has. Meaning, for example, a person was supposed to live 80 years. That person will not live longer than 80 years, no matter how many good deeds he does. The only thing it could happen is that Hashem should remove, diminish from the 80 years, and he will live less if he does not behave. If he doesn't behave properly, then Hashem will take away from his years. But there is no way that Hashem is going to increase the years that he has on this earth. V'chachomim amrim, chachomim say, Zacha moisif loy, if the person merits, Hashem adds more years to you. Loy zacha, if the person does not merit, then pachsin loy, then Hashem diminishes the year. Meaning, according to Chachamim, a person, for example, was supposed to live 80 years. If he does good deeds and behaves well, then Hashem could decide to give him 90 years. He could increase 10 years to his life. And if he behaves badly, Hashem could decide to give him less years. That everything depends on the person and his behavior, how long that person is going to live. But he is able to increase the days of his life. The Gemara asks a question to Rabbi Akiva that the Pasuk in Melachim Beis, chapter 20, Pasuk number 6, seems to be a direct contradiction to what Rabbi Akiva says, because the Pasuk there says that the prophet Yeshaya came to Chizkiyahu and told him, Voisafti el yomecha chomesh esri shana, I will add to your days 15 years. That means Hashem will add to his life 15 years. The story there is that originally the king Chizkiyahu did not want to have children. The prophet comes to him and says, Kimeis ato v'loisiche, you will die, you will not live. The Gemara explains, what does it mean, you'll die, not live? It means you'll die in this world and you'll not live the world to come. The king Chizkiyahu asks the prophet, why do I get such punishment? The prophet answers him that you didn't want to have children and therefore Hashem is punishing you. And Chizkiyahu answers that the reason that I didn't want to have children is because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that I'm going to have a child, Menashe, which is going to be a big sinner. And I decided that if I don't have children, then Menashe will not be born. The prophet told him that what are you getting involved in Hashem's work? Meaning you are supposed to do what you are required and don't worry what is going to happen in the future. Chizkiyahu tells him, give me your daughter in marriage, maybe my merit and your merit will cause Menashe to turn to be good. The prophet Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu, I'm sorry, it is too late already. Chizkiyahu at this point tells the prophet, get away from here because I have a Kabbalah, I have a tradition, I have a Mesorah from my father that even if the executioner's sword is against your neck, you should still continue praying. Right away, Chizkiyahu turned into the wall and prayed to Hashem. And the apostle continues, if what Hashem told Yeshayahu to tell Chizkiyahu. And the apostle clearly says that Hashem told Yeshayahu to tell Chizkiyahu that he's going to have another 15 years. So you see clearly that you are able to add years to a person. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it is impossible to add years to a person. So the Gemara answers that the years that he added was the original years that he's supposed to have. In other words, Tzidkiyahu was supposed to live, for example, 60 years, but because he didn't want to have children, Hashem told him that at the age of 45, I'm going to take you and you are going to die. Now that he wants to have children, then he gives him back the 15 years, he goes back to 60 years. But it's not 15 extra years that he's supposed to have. Meaning that if it originally was supposed to be 60 years, it is not going to go to 75. The Marsha asks a question, what is Rabbi Akiva going to do with the psukim that says, Leman yarichun yomecho, so your days should become long, or kiu chayecho, that you are my life, voirech yomecho, and the length of my days. What is going to do if all these psukim that seem to imply that your life is going to be lengthened? The Marsha answers in the same way as the Gemara, that your life will be lengthened up to the point that you had originally. In other words, up to the point that you were originally destined to have, that's how long your life is going to be lengthened. If you did something wrong up till now, Hashem will lengthen your life back to that original amount. But Sefer Shemeroish says that even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's possible that your life should be extended. And he explains, based on a famous machloikes, if tchumim doraisa or tchumim derabanan. In other words, on Shabbos, you only allowed to walk outside city limits up to the limits of 2,000 cubits. And that is a machloikas, if it's a biblical prohibition to walk past that or a rabbinic prohibition. According to Rabbi Akiva himself, that is a biblical prohibition. And the Ramban on Eruvin, Daf Yud Zayin, asks a question that according to the opinion that says Tchumim Doraisa, meaning according to Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva believes that walking past the 2,000 cubit limit is a biblical prohibition, how can Eruv work? By me putting my meal at the 2,000 limits, that allows me to walk 4,000 cubits. 2,000 up to my meal, and from my meal further on, another 2,000 cubits, for a total of 4,000 cubits. How can the rabbis establish something like that to permit something that's biblically prohibited? Since it's biblically prohibited to walk past 2,000 cubits, how can the rabbis permit me to walk 4,000 cubits, meaning 2,000 cubits up to my meal, and then 2,000 cubits past my meal, if that is a biblical prohibition? The Ramban explains that since a person normally wants to be where his meal is going to be, then we view, since his thoughts, his thinking is completely with his meal, then we view as his body would have been there, and it's considered as he was physically away 2,000 cubits from his actual place when Shabbos came in. Therefore, since you could walk 2,000 cubits to either direction, it is like you're walking 2,000 cubits to the west and 2,000 cubits to the east for a total of 4,000 cubits, and that's how it works. We see from this idea of Eruv that if a person is constantly thinking of a certain place, we view him as he would be physically there. Therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, that a person that is constantly thinking of being close to Hashem, of being in proximity of the Divine, constantly wanting to please the heavens and having his mind totally in lofty ideas, then we view him as he would be physically in heaven. That if he thinks of his meal, we view him as he would be by his meal physically. Then if he thinks of the heavens, then we view him as he would be in heavens. Therefore, he says that according to Rabbi Akiva, the person would also have his life increased. Because Rabbi Akiva says that if it's predestined that a person will live, for example, 60 years on earth, then the 60 years cannot be extended. But if from the 60 years this person was so connected to Hashem, was so thinking about heavens, then technically he did not live in this earth for his 60 years. He lived in heavens for 5 of these 60 years. Then Hashem will add to the years of his life 5 years, the years that he technically was physically in heaven, because we view where your machshava, where your thought is, as you being there. So since your machshava, your thought was completely about heavens, then you were 5 years in heavens. So therefore, you did not achieve your quota of 60 years. Hashem will increase 5 years of your life for you to live on this earth for 5 years, because the 5 years that you lived in heaven does not count towards your tally. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish explains, this is exactly what is written by this pasuk, Leman Yirbu Yemeichem V'mei V'neichem Alu Adama. This pasuk is talking about a person that is very lofty, that is doing the mitzvahs, is teaching to his children, and is merited that Hashem will bring him back towards Israel. And Hashem is telling you that if you are thinking about me all the time, then I will increase your years and the years of your children on the land that I promised your forefathers, kimei hashamayim, as the days you are thinking about heaven. As the days that you were thinking constantly of Hashem, constantly thinking how to connect to Hashem, those days I will add ala oretz, I will add on this land, because technically you were physically in heaven at these times, and since it was predestined the amount of years that you're going to have, and you took from those years that you are going to have, and you were thinking and connecting to heaven, then physically we view it as you would be in heaven, then you did not complete all the years. So the only way I could add those years to you is kimei hashamayim, as the days that you were thinking on heaven, then I'll be able to give these years ala oretz on the earth. That in other words, that even though you were on earth, you were thinking on heaven, those years I'll be able to add to your tally and you'll be able to increase the days of your life. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should perform the mitzvahs the way we are supposed to. We should be proud to wear the crown of Hashem, the jewelry of Hashem, and Hashem should see that we long for a relationship with Him. And if we increase our Torah learning and increase our mitzvahs, will merit to bring Mashiach. Mashiach will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.